is coming. Between light and darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
Campfire. Coffee. From a tin cup in my hand. It sure warms the fingers when it's cold. Guitar, a friend I understand, it sure smooth the wrinkles in my soul. Sleeping in the moonlight, a blanket for a bed, it leaves a peaceful feeling. With an eagle overhead, makes me long to fly away before my time. And I think God must be a cowboy at heart. He made wide open spaces from the start. And a horse to be a friend, and trails to lead old cowboys home again.
New Mexico listeners and anyone else interested in truth, justice, and the American way, my friend Gary McDaniel has tossed his hat in the ring for Division I Magistrate Judge. Gary has devoted his life to justice and has served the San Juan County residents for over 33 years in various capacities in law enforcement. He served as magistrate in 2012 and was also an alternate judge in Aztec. Gary's list of qualifications and awards is extensive and distinguished. So if you want to see liberty for all in action and see how it really works, vote Gary McDaniel, the primary election, June 5th, 2018. Gary McDaniel, family man, public servant, guided by God, conscience, and the Constitution.
The truth.
But you can find it right here on the Shooting Bench. Coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that ball.
You need the shooting bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the shooting bench.
All right, here we are. Welcome to the shooting bench once again. It is Wednesday. It's the 2nd of May. And I think our high today was 43 degrees. It was 38 when I went to town this morning. It's been snowing and hailing and stuff all day long. And it's just doing what, they always tell you, never ever plant before the 1st of May around here. And people every year, without fail, without exception, somebody doesn't heed that warning. Every year, without fail, without exception, it freezes or gets close to it and or snows around the 1st of May. And 3 years ago, I think it was, we had several inches on the 16th of May. As a matter of fact, I believe it was Mother's Day. I had some good pictures of that. We had 4 or 5 inches on Mother's Day. And so, once again, do not plant your garden before the 1st of May unless it is protected pretty well in some manner. So that's just a little tip from your friendly green thumb gardening guy here. Not. Anyway, we've got our class coming up in Vancouver, getting close. We should be hearing ads on Radio Free Readout coming up here Saturday and Sunday. And we'll give this always a great class up there in Vancouver. There's always some folks that are very dedicated to their training and stuff, and I really enjoy going up there and working with them. And everything else is kind of on hold now. We've still got the thing coming up in Colorado. We'll have got even yet another concealed weapons class over in Springerville, probably towards the end of this month. So, and speaking of that, we're going to get into that a little bit, into why we do that, and a little good example again. But before we do, I think we'll dash over here, though, to the chat room and see what's going on. All right, Tebow, thank you. 5x5, Yakima Glock, NM Glock, everybody. LB Sand has joined us tonight. Been a long time since we've seen you, buddy. Glad you come dropped in here. And there's Nan and Mountain Shooter. Let me go down the list here and see what all's here. Or who all's here. Desert Rad. Desert Rad don't talk a whole lot, but he always comes in there and he hangs out from beginning to end. We're glad to have you in here. And Doc and DeTinker and Minnie. Mother Earth's still logged in. I don't know if she's listening or not. And let's see, I've already mentioned all of those. Tebow, Northwest Heavy, Yakima Glock, couple of anonymous in there. All right, good deal. For those of you that are not on the chat room and that will be listening by podcast soon, welcome to everybody. Let's see, let me scroll this thing down here a little bit farther. Yeah, LB Sand, sounds like you've been having some issues there, buddy. I don't know what's going on, but sure glad you made it in here to see us tonight. All right, let's see. Let's get right into it here. There was a you know, we get these all the time, and you never know what the whole story is. Oh, my friend and brother and veteran and blah, blah, blah is, you know, been thrown in jail, and he's gonna die in jail. He's been sentenced to life. Okay. And you know, nobody knows other than what we get two sides of a story, neither of which can be confirmed by, you know, for what we do here. We get usually a newspaper ad, newspaper article or something like that, or a YouTube video or something. And then we'll get what the individual, get their opinion. Well, we've got one today. A guy I've been kind of going back and forth here a little bit. The guy's 85 years old, veteran, two Purple Hearts. He was in the Korean conflict. And I need to read you the story here of what happened. Then I'll read you what the guy that sent me this thinks should have happened. So you kind of have to keep up here. Hang on a minute, let me get my. You know, these crystal balls just ain't like they used to be. There it goes. All right. Now here's what the newspaper says, local newspaper, as of 10 days ago. Sentenced to life in prison after he is shooting and after the 2017 shooting that killed his late best friend's ex-wife. In February, a jury found Eugene Matthews, 84, guilty by jury of one count of second-degree murder with a firearm and two counts of attempted murder. Rebecca Rawson went to Matthews' home in Parrish along with her ex-brother-in-law and her daughter to retrieve her ex-husband's dog. Rawson's ex-brother-in-law knocked on the door, and when Matthews' live-in girlfriend opened the door, he called for Bart, picked him up, and turned to walk away. Bart was the dog. Picked him up and turned to walk away. But then Matthews appeared at the doorway, armed with a handgun, and began shooting at the Rawson family as they attempted to drive away. One bullet went through the windshield, struck Rebecca Rawson in the face, rushed by paramedics to a hospital where she died shortly after. Okay, it was by the grace of God that all of them didn't die. Da, 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 da. The judge recalled Matthew's testimony at the trial, saying he had never before feared for his life. The judge said, but your actions were not the actions of someone who was afraid. Your actions were the actions of someone who was angry. I would have to agree with that. From what I'm hearing, this is all we have to go on, is this story here. So the woman's daughter testified during the hearings, describing how she and her family have been devastated by the loss of her mother. Okay, that's understandable. We can skip some of that. It's just a plea for sympathy there, which... But it's understandable, no? Let's see here. Depression, panic attacks. Okay, this was all just about the mom, and that's from what I gather here. The guy was. They come to pick up the dog. The guy showed up with a gun, and went to blazing away at him. Went through the windshield, killed the one woman, and. Apparently didn't hit anybody else in there. So let me read you now what the guy that sent me this, and then we'll pick it apart here a little bit. Let's see, I need to find the longer version of it here so you can get the whole thing. Now, there's a lot of people on here that are very sympathetic with this. Oh, yeah, we've got to get him out of jail. Well, I'm sympathetic because the guy's 85 years old. You know, he made a mistake. Big mistake, cost somebody their life. However, he still has to have to be held accountable for what he did. So, this is from the veteran's sister. Now, they keep throwing that veteran thing in there. At this point, it doesn't matter whether he was a veteran or not. Now, if someone like the Hammonds or Joe Robertson, that mattered at that point because they were wrongfully imprisoned. The whole thing was wrong, and it did matter. But when this guy has, as the story implies, if we can take the story at face value here, the fact that he was a veteran has no bearing on the story. None at all. If he gets thrown in jail and is mistreated and starving and doesn't get his medication, whatever the case may be, yeah, is this how we treat America's veterans? I can live with that. But right now they're trying to tugging on everybody's heartstrings here because he's a veteran. So this is from the guy's sister. This breaks my heart. Eugene Matthews is my older brother. He's a war hero who received two Purple Hearts after being severely wounded in the Korean War. Okay, pause a minute. This still has no bearing. Thank you for your service. I'm sorry all this happened, but that does not give you a free pass for coming to the door with a gun and shooting somebody over a dog. His friend had given him his dog before his friend had passed away. Okay, right there, it doesn't indicate in the story if he'd given him the dog. There probably should have been a note with it saying, okay, I've given you this dog, his name is so-and-so, this is the date, I'm who I am, this is who he is, and it's all good. Without any way to prove it, then obviously the family is probably going to come try to retrieve the dog. The friend's ex-wife and family were aware that my brother suffered from PTSD from the Korean War. Halt again. If he suffered from PTSD, he is, by federal law, a prohibited possessor. He shouldn't even have had a gun. Okay, I'm not giving my opinion on it. Not everybody with PTSD is danger, but as far as the law goes, he is a prohibited possessor. And yet they crashed through his gate and trespassed on his property at night, despite no trespassing signs and warning signs. Okay, that right there would give him, in most places, a legal, a justification to use lethal force, except he should have done it as they were coming in, not as they were leaving. They were in the car backing out of the driveway when he shot. There was they were posing no threat at that point. Friends, ex-wife, family, were the PTSD, stole my brother's dog. Now, here's the part that the other story doesn't say. Plus, the man who stole the dog also broke my brother's fingers in the struggle for the dog. Okay, now the story just says he picked up the dog and left, and then the guy showed up with a handgun. So we have two very conflicting stories here as to what did or did not happen. My brother was not even aware that the lady was in the car and the bullet ricocheted and hit her in the face. Halt. If you're not aware of how many somebody's in the car, then you probably shouldn't be shooting at the car. People have asked me many times if the car is driving away or if the car is doing this, doing that, Can I just shoot at the car, or should I shoot at the car? No. You don't know that there's not a child in the back seat, a hostage in the trunk, or whatever. You don't just shoot at cars. If you are absolutely beyond any shadow of a doubt sure that that person has committed a felony and is in the car alone, and you feel like you can stop it, yeah, in most places that would be justified. Even taking a chance of shooting a tire out, if you're not a pretty good shot and the car is leaving, it's still a little risky. So not being aware that someone is in the car is not, by any remote stretch, is that a justification? Is that an excuse for what happened? Everyone in Manatee County knew about the grudge that the sheriff and his family had against my brother because my brother had taken him to the Supreme Court and won. Okay? If that's true, we can see that there may be some corruption here that caused this. We still have the official story and don't know how true either one of these are. But taking into account what we're talking about here, whether it's true or not, I have made my points as to whether or not the guy should have gone to jail. She goes on to say, I just pray that somehow justice will still be served and my brother will be set free. He was at home minding his own business and does not deserve this. So, having not been there, or having no video with sound available to analyze, then, you know, I still have to stand by my deal that it was, that he was wrong. A guy tagged me in this post and said, you know, what do you think about this? So I told him what I think, and then everybody gets on me. I said, we have nothing to go on here except what's written. We didn't hear the testimonies of others. That being said, if this story is true, he deserves everything he got, veteran or not. And that didn't sit well with some people. Somebody said, no, there are people who will testify. Okay, maybe they will. But as of right now, anything that they may do and whatever outcome may come of it is purely speculation. It's just something to keep a Facebook thread going. I said, it changes nothing. The way it stands now with the information we have, he deserves what he got. So anyway, I just told him I wouldn't speculate on this. If new evidence and testimony is presented, maybe it will change things. But until then, this is what we have. So, and then there's a bunch of other deals here as to some guy said, Cope Reynolds, that's why you don't jump yet until you research. Okay, I didn't jump. I made it very clear. I was going by what was written. I was asked for my opinion, and I gave it. That's my opinion, and you're welcome to it. My opinion is always, well, pretty much always free. Sometimes not so much. So, okay, I'm looking through here. We can get rid of all that stuff. Let's move back over here. What time is it? Okay, we're plugging right along here. By the way, my daughter has their, the whole state of Arizona, the state track meet is this weekend down in Phoenix. And as it stands at this moment, I think my daughter is either second or third in the state for the 100-yard dash and stands to possibly, she's already broken two school records this year, so we're really proud of her. She's quite the athlete. I'm just tickled to death with how well she's doing. So anyway, I may be down there for Liberty Lounge Friday night, but I'm not sure. I may be back up here, so I'll let you know. But I do have every intention of Liberty Lounge being a live show Friday night. Can't guarantee it just yet, but that's my intention. So as it gets a little closer, I'll let you know. All right, let's move on here, if I can find stuff to move on to. Oh, here's the big one. After all the stuff that's happened here with Boy Scouts. Now Boy Scouts is changing their name. They're dropping the boy from Boy Scouts because they're letting girls in. And this is one of those things that just about leaves me speechless. Thank you, Nan. Appreciate that. Let's see.
See if I can look and see what's going on here in the... Yeah, that's right, Yakima Glock. John McCain's military service doesn't excuse all the things that he did over the last however many years here. All right.
What's happened since they're allowing girls in the Boy Scouts, and why are they allowing girls in the Boy Scouts? Is nothing sacred anymore? Why can't we have an exclusive club or organization for young men growing up learning stuff? What's wrong with the Girl Scouts? Why don't you go be a girl? Somebody said, well, you know, buy lots of Girl Scout cookies so they can afford to get all the stuff they need, and then maybe they'll still wear it. No, I'm not buying any Girl Scout cookies. Girl Scouts have consistently for the last several years supported, partnered with Planned Parenthood. That is unacceptable. So I will not be buying any cookies from Girl Scouts. And I will not be supporting Boy Scouts now because they're Boy Scouts and not Girl Scouts. So now we'll deal, send our donations to 4-H and FFA until something happens to that. We probably won't have to wait too long before something goes haywire there. So I'm just astonished here that this is happening. I just, whatever happened to I don't even know how to phrase it. You know, I can say what happened to my country. That's getting old. I mean, I do wonder what happened to my country. But what changed in people's minds or makeup somehow where girls think they need to be boys and boys think they need to be girls and everybody needs to participate in the same thing, go to the same bathrooms, and what the hell is going on? I really would like to see things get back to what was considered normal in 1960. I mean, it's, I don't know. I can't even talk about it because I'm just amazed that this, there's no rhyme or reason for what is happening here or why it is happening. So I don't know exactly what to say or how to say it. How to address this deal. But it's driving me crazy anyway. All right. Well, I think we'll take a little break here and
I'll be back.
That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Beyer Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Beyer Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Beyer Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at BeyerBarrels.com. That's B-E-Y-E-R Barrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Bench, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
Because, you know, it is just wonderful to be back in Oregon, and over the last 15 months we've traveled to every corner of the United States. I've now been in 50 seven states, I think, one left to go. Alaska and Hawaii I was not allowed to go to, even though I really wanted to visit, but my staff would not justify it.
Elmer Jones arose at dawn and put his hunting breeches on, then looked up at his shotgun on the wall. He made his mind up then and there to bag himself at shooting. He had plenty on the ball. He milked the cow and fed the hog, then kissed his wife, called the dog, picked up his gun and started on his quest. He crossed the creek and hit the trees, threw back his head and sniffed the breeze, let out a yell and pounded on his chest.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
He hunted all the morning through, but not a bear came into view, while Elmer's thoughts were on the kitchen range. For he was sick as he could be of lamb and chicken fricassee and craved a mess of bear meat for a change. Poor Elmer's mind was in a fog. He paused and sat down on a log, get his faculties back in the groove. He heard a noise, and standing there before him was a grizzly bear, and figured it was time he made his move.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
He grabbed his gun and turned around, but Mr. Bear just stood his ground, and Elmer said, it's either me or thou. The gun refused to go, and so he knew that somebody had to go, and said, farewell, I'm leaving as of now. Elmer's shoulders sprouted wings, his feet developed inner springs. To linger longer, he was disinclined. He ran so fast through muck and mire, his ankles set his socks afire. Still, that bear kept coming on behind.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
A deer with antler 8 feet wide got in the way of Elmer's stride as both of them went heading for the brush. Elmer said, now listen, son, if that's the fastest you can run, move over, because I'm really in a rush. The bear was gaining inch by inch and finally reached out for the clinch as Elmer saw the fence around his place. He leaped the fence and landed hard, jumped 60 feet across the yard and slammed the kitchen door in Bruin's face.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
The bear was trying to get inside while Elmer sought a place to hide, and Mrs. Jones began to pull her hair. She said, this fuss has got to stop. Why don't you let that matter drop? And Elmer said, honey, you go tell that to the bear. Then Elmer's wife said, listen, goon, how come you think you're Daniel Boone, whose appetite on bear meat used to thrive? He said, I'm sure that you're aware that Daniel always killed his bear, but honey, I done brought this baby home alive.
Here comes Elmer. Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer. Run, bear, run.
Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yeah, you good rockin' daddy down from Tennessee. I'm just out off about San Antonio with a radio blasting and the bird dog on. Yeah, speed travel, my head sound the town. No local yokel gonna shut me down. Me and my boys got the trigger wound, and we'll come a thousand miles from a guitar town.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kinda just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Chevy car.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge, every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
Wake up in the middle of the night in a truck stop, stumble in a restaurant, wonder why I don't stop.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. we're back. It's kind of a long break there. For those of you that are, if you're interested in the World According to Cope, there's a couple of places you can go besides my Facebook page and all the cotton picking, my YouTube channel and all the Facebook stuff that I've got going on, which is considerable. But we've also got a email deal that we put out not too often, and not, it ain't like it floods you. At best, you get a couple a month. Sometimes I even miss a month or two. So not like you get a whole bunch of stuff. We do use it to promote some of the things that we do and sell and classes that we do and stuff like that. And we've always got a segment there on what's going on in the world, current events and stuff. And there's a new segment now that is the place where we put stuff like how to pack your 72-hour bag and you know what you put in it, how to, what order to put it in, things like that. Homemade gadgets that can help you out in the woods, you know, different ways to store things, and you know, just whatever, anytime a little hints and stuff. So if you want to get in on that, just send me an email to theshootingbench@live.com or get a hold of me on Facebook or whatever you want, and I'll get you added. Well, great. That's just awesome. Try that again. There we go. I know that Doc and NM Glock and Mountain Shooter and maybe TiVo and some of the others will be kind of excited about this next little bit of news we got here. This is Ruger has come out with a new GP100. And it is the GP100 match champion in 10mm auto. Now, is that a little bit awesome or what? Actually, I'm not that big of a fan of revolvers that shoot semi-auto cartridges. This one would be pretty tough. It would be a pretty neat deal. You still have to have moon keys, you know, clips, keys, what the hell am I talking about? So I have to have moon clips to make it work. Hang on here just a minute. Yeah, Dan, I just got that deal you posted there. And yes, that is number one. It is it is for shotgun shells. I can tell by looking at it that it's kind of worn out. It's got some of the deals. When I get a close up here, maybe it's not so bad. I was thinking maybe most of them look like they're stretched out, but maybe they're not too bad. But ordinarily, I'm not a real big fan of carrying shotgun shells in a belt or a bandolier or something like that, but. Maybe I'm going to that. I do like a side saddle on the gun, and that's it. And anything extra would be in belt pouches or something like that. But, anyway, back to the 10mm. This would be, you know, it sounds like it's pretty groovy at first. But with the barrel cylinder gap and everything, which, you know, on Ruger's is generally kind of generous. It's not as tight as, you know, Smith & Wesson or some of the custom guns, Freedom Arms particularly. And I'm afraid with that barrel cylinder gap, what we're going to get is velocities that would be probably not much better with factory ammo anyway. Probably not much better than the 40 Smith & Wesson out of a semi-automatic. Good thing about this is with those moon clips, it will definitely shoot 40 Smith & Wesson also. So this revolver is going to be both 40 and 10mm, just like a 38 and a 357. Or, you know, 44 Special and 44 Magnum or whatever. You've got a few of them like that. I don't know that it's a great filling a big gap anywhere that needs filled. Be kind of neat, especially if you have a an excess of 10 millimeter ammo or 40 ammo, or you got a little carbine to go with it, or something like that. I'm not going to rush out right away quick and get one. They're about $1,000, $969, so I don't need one that bad. But that was kind of a neat deal. I thought you guys might kind of get a kick out of that. $969. Yep, I'm not a fan. It is. They've taken this, though. You know, your average GP100, I think nowadays they're probably, I'm not sure, they're probably around $650, $699, something like that. And this one's $900. But this one has been, it says it has lends itself well to competition level accuracy, according to Ruger anyway. They've done some trigger work on it and smoothed it up, and it's got fiber optic front sight on it and everything. Really nice wooden grips. I would rather them stay with the grips that originally came out on the GP100. These wood ones look nice. They might even feel nice, but I would rather have the other ones anyway, especially for that 10 millimeter. 10 millimeter is not going to bite too hard in that heavy revolver. I think it would be very mild, very pleasant to shoot, and probably about the same as a 357 Magnum in the full house loads, maybe a hair more, but actually, probably about the same. Just guessing. So, still don't really want one unless somebody wants to buy me one. If you want to buy me one, just go ahead and send it to my FFL transfer folks here. Send it to Cal Rancher and Sholo, and they'll make sure I get it. So, I appreciate that if you decide to do that. Anyway, I won't hold my breath. By the way. But I will be waiting. Let's see. Another good story. Talk about good guys with guns. You've all heard the story probably of, what was his name? Alfie something over in United Kingdom somewhere. That he'd been Alfie Evans. If you look that up, this is the danger of socialized medicine. Everybody's, oh yeah, we get all of our health care free and all this stuff. Well, in Canada, you can still pick your doctor. It's socialized medicine, but it's you choose your doctors, and they're still, you know, in private business. In England, from what I understand, the doctors are government employees. It is like way socialized medicine. So after Alfie Evans has been on life support for a couple of years, finally somebody said, you know what, time out. This is just costing too much. It's 2 years. It's not costing you anything. It's costing us something, costing the taxpayers. So tell Alfie goodbye, because we're going to pull the plug. So who makes that? Who ethically makes that decision? Morally makes that decision? Well, I guess the people that's spending the money doing it. Somewhere, you know, not that these doctors need to be, or government officials need to be playing God. But where is that line drawn where you say, well, there's just no possibility of him coming back, and we're going to have to let him go? And, you know, it was all over Facebook and everything, and people were just absolutely going crazy about it. And, you know, the government can't do this and blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, the government did that. So then we have a middle-of-the-road story here. Now, what they wouldn't do is they wouldn't allow these people to take their son to Italy, if I have the story correctly, to get some treatment. Yeah, officials in the UK sentenced baby Alfie to death this year when they denied his parents the ability to fly to Italy to receive free treatment at no cost to the British government. This was the rub right here. They're going to fly him to Italy, get treatment there that was free, that cost the government nothing. And this is what everybody was upset about. Well, baby Alfie is now dead. They pulled the plug on him, let him go. And the parents were helpless to resist. So here's a guy on Twitter that says, why do I need an AR-15? Because someday the government may tell me I'm not allowed to put my sick son on a plane and fly him to Italy for treatment. And believe me when I tell you, I will be putting him on that plane. Tough talk, you know, he may or may not, he may, you know, die trying, but if the government decides you're not going to do it, then you're not going to do it.
Nan M. Glock, what do you mean I have never been drawn? Oh, that's probably supposed to be drawn. Drawn to the 10 millimeter.
If you're not drawn to the 10 millimeter, Nan M. Glock, you are, I think, what they call a metrosexual. No, I'm kidding. Now, the 10 millimeter is in a semi-automatic is the most awesome cartridge that was ever created. I love, absolutely love the 10 millimeter. Still don't think it's the greatest thing for self-defense, but as far as hunting with hand loads, yes, sir. That 10 millimeter is the cat's meow. I promise you that. So here, along with this, I have another story here. This is a story of George Pickering. George Pickering Sr., Houston, Texas. Well, just 3 years ago, George's son, George Jr., was declared brain dead. And this was back in 2015 after suffering a massive stroke. Doesn't say how old he was, but from looking at the pictures, I'd say, you know, 30 maybe. So the decision to end his life had been made. However, there's a difference here. Desperate to keep his son alive, seemingly knowing something that the doctors did not, George Sr. armed himself and intervened. He said, I felt hopeless. They were moving too fast. The hospital, the nurses, the doctors. He said, after entering the hospital in Houston, determined to make sure his son was given more time to recover, a standoff ensued as George Sr. barricaded himself in his son's room. See, this is pretty serious here so far. George Sr. was willing to risk jail time and even death if it meant getting his son a few more minutes on this earth and a chance to survive. A SWAT team was kept at bay as armed George Sr. sat with his son and prayed for a sign of life. George Sr.'s other son was allowed in the room and eventually talked his father down. However, because his father was armed, police were held off long enough for something amazing to happen. Towards the end of the standoff, which was about 3 hours long, he felt his son squeeze his hand. At this time, the SWAT team had already opened the door to the critical care room, and he had surrendered to the police, but he surrendered knowing his son had squeezed his hand. Had he not been armed, police would have removed George Sr. in only a few minutes and would have never felt his son squeeze his hand and life support would have been pulled. To confirm the father's claims that his son had shown signs of life, the SWAT team even sent in their own doctors. The SWAT team had their own doctors, and when they entered the room and entered into the critical care room, they saw that my client's son was not brain dead because he was making eye contact, was following their commands, and they were completely amazed at this. Had this armed father not decided to take a stand, his son would likely be dead right now. The amazing thing was that my client was right, and his son did survive. When you see him now, he is a picture of health. I don't think he would have survived, but for the fact that his father slowed the process down. This case has always been about a father protecting his son when his son couldn't protect himself. Well, the father was charged with 2 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. One was later dismissed, and the other one lessened to a state jail felony. However, this father of three said he doesn't regret a minute of it, including the jail time. I think he served about a year or something like that. And yes, there was law broken, but since the guy, this would have been the classic perfect opportunity for the jury to nullify. Well, no, maybe it wouldn't. You can only nullify a law. You cannot nullify a charge. I don't think jury nullification would have worked here. But, you know, there has to be a line drawn somewhere between right and wrong. You know, between actually obeying the law and following the spirit of the law. Nobody got hurt. The boy lived. And he wouldn't have if this hadn't have happened the way it did. There needs to be provisions in there to say, okay, yes, you broke the law. But, you know, nobody got hurt. We're gonna give you some, you know, a year's worth of community service here or something, and let you know that this probably wasn't the best thing to do. But, you know, there's got to be some way, a little bit, something to do a little bit differently than the way they handled it there. It's kind of like when you shoot someone in self-defense and they still fine you, they still charge you with discharging a firearm in the city limits. Yeah, not always, but they have. Yes, you could be charged with discharging a firearm in the city limits for protecting yourself. You're not going to get in trouble for killing the guy or wounding him or whatever. What you're going to get in trouble is shooting the gun to begin with. That's another one that never made any sense to me at all. So, anyway, the happy ending, except he was, if all he did was 1 year, you know, he may have not have lost his gun rights and stuff. I don't know what the whole outcome is there. But, at any rate, there's two very, very much contrasting stories there. Between a family that could not protect their loved one and someone that could. So let's see here. I think I'll save that for later. Now what time is it? Well, we still got a couple minutes here. That's a tinfoil hat deal there. I better get the whole story on that before I go and make myself out of a fool. This weather we're having here hopefully is really helping fight these fires. There's a fire just east of us here, Louise. I told you about it Monday. 12,000 acre this morning. It was 12,000 acres, 0% contained. It is so cotton picking dry around here. And I hope that this came through. I haven't looked at it tonight to see what's going on, but I probably will before I go to bed and see. And there was another fire south of us. Last I heard, it was at 12,000-something acres or more and was about 30% contained. I can find that out for you here in just a second. And that was on the Indian Reservation, the White Mountain Apache Reservation, just south of us. Let's see, as of April 19th, okay, that one's, all right, 22 hours ago, it was, oh, stop, would you? Current as of today at 5:30. Total personnel on fire, 179. It's at 26,000 acres right now. 86% contained. 86% of the perimeter contained. So that's good. It's not going to grow a whole lot more unless it happens to get away from them. And with this wet weather, and if that wind calms down a little bit, they'll have that one knocked out here in a day or two, and that'll be good. Bad thing about it, it was following the path of that the old Wallow fire there, and it was moving pretty fast through there. All right. Yeah, Tebow, looks like Tebow's ducking out there. I think I'm going to duck out here pretty quick, too. Let me see what's going on in the chat room and check and see. NM Glock, I guess it would have been as simple as that, just say not guilty. Yeah, that would have been the easy way to solve that. So, NM Glock says they had granted Alfie Italian citizenship and offered to cover all expenses. So, yeah, he was just used as a pawn, maybe. Something to prove a point. Make sure that everybody knows that we're in control. And if we don't think your kid needs to live and we don't need to mess with that anymore, then we'll kill him. And, it's tough luck for you. So there you have it. There is the shooting bench in a nutshell for another day. And with any luck, there will be a Liberty Lounge no matter what. Whether or not it's live or not is anybody's guess. But as it stands right now, we have every intention of being live. So be sure and get back in here on Friday night. And I haven't decided. I'm thinking, let's see. We're not ever going to do anything, any metal stuff other than maybe an occasional AC/DC or something. So you can drop that. We're not ever going to do any rap. We're not ever going to do any opera. So we're probably not going to do any classical. So we're probably going to be stuck with different years of either rock or country. So haven't decided what I might do this weekend yet. If I've got time, I may put together an old rock show. You know, early beginnings of rock. I think that sounds like kind of a good idea. So we'll see. All right, well, here I go again. It always happens about this time when the show gets close to an end. I always start babbling. I don't even know what I'm talking about sometimes. So we have come to that point in this show. So I think what I need to do is get on out of here and let y'all get on with your evening, and we'll see you for Liberty Lounge Friday night.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.